Hebrews chapter 10. How many can remember back to when you were first born again? When you first received Christ? When, so to speak, the light went on? How many can remember when you kind of felt lonely, left out? People walked away. Friends didn't stop anymore. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning and a time of reflection. You know, every once in a while we got to remember we can't let the past influence our future. Everything in the past isn't bad and everything in the past isn't good. But we begin to reflect on some stuff as Paul is telling the people in this book. Verse 32 of chapter 10, Paul's writing and he says, "But recall the former days in which you were illuminated. You endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations or afflictions, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated." Then Paul says, "You had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have had better and enduring possession for yourselves." And the last verse we're going to read is, "Therefore," the reason "therefore" is there so we can find out what it's there for. "Do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward." Therefore, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Now, I don't know if anybody here has suffered any kind of physical persecution when you came to Christ. We had a kid in our previous church that when he accepted the Lord, he went to school and kids spit on him. But there's a lot of things that we go through as we walk out this life and grow in Christ. But in all this, in what's ever happened to you in the past, you can use that for a strength to remember the faithfulness of God. How many are still breathing today? How many are still alive? How many are still walking with the Lord in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? You know, all these things that happened to Paul, and if you go to 1 Corinthians 11, you can read the shipwrecks and the beatings and the times he was stoned and the many things that happened to him, but he endured all of them. God gave him the strength to get through it. And there's a lot of people today who are looking at things and in their mind they're saying, "God, where are you? What's going on? How come?" And as we look back, we can find out that God was with us every step that we've taken. Every person that's come against us, everything that's been said negatively to us, everything that's happened to us, God was in the midst of it. God didn't abandon you. God never left you alone. You may say, "But I didn't know he was there and I didn't feel him." He was there. Amen? He was there. And Paul is talking about that fact. In the days that you were illuminated, the word illuminated means in this sense that the spiritual light went on. You had revelation. You saw Jesus as he was. You came to a place of recognizing him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which we sang about, and you gave your life to him, and you begin to walk it out. There was a moment. I'm not calling it an existential leap because it's totally different. But there was a moment when the light came on. How many of you were religious before you were Christians? How many of you went to church? You did all the things that your church said. But one day that light came on. One day truth came. One day you suddenly realize there's something deeper, there's something more, there's something real, there's something I've been missing. Excuse me. And Paul's talking about that moment when you understood, you accepted, and you begin to walk out and live that life for the Lord. And then Paul says this, you endured a great struggle. What's he talking about? You endured a time of emotional stress. You endured a time of loneliness. You determined a time when you felt abandoned, that everything just kind of stopped, and all of a sudden, Facebook wasn't as good as it was before. Your emails changed. Your family walked away. People did all kinds of things. Well, it was deeper than that for Paul, because Paul suddenly, who was tied in with the priests and tied in with the Sanhedrin, suddenly now he was ostracized. And Paul is reflecting back on what he went through. And Paul is saying in these kind of words, you went through a great emotional struggle. You went through a great emotional battle. And what'd you have left? You had the fact that God loves you, that God accepted you, and that God had a plan for your life. But as you started running the race, as you started walking it out, things were changing. It's kind of interesting in this, because Paul has some interesting insight when you start breaking it down. Because in the next verse, he says, you were made a spectacle. That word, I don't know, we don't use it much anymore, but you were made a gazing stock. People looked at you. People watched you. And that word spectacle in the Greek is something that people would go to a play and watch the people on the theater hoping they would make a mistake, because then they laughed at them. All of us, when we came to Christ, people stood back, and you might have heard it, and they might have sent you something, and they were just saying, you know, I'm going to watch you for a while because I've got the feeling you're coming back. You're going back to your past life. People were looking at you, and they weren't looking at you cheering you on. They were looking at you hoping that you would fail, hoping that this new fad would kind of walk out and slip out of the way, and you'd become the old you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And there were mental pressures, and there were attacks of the mind and body. And you know what happened? This is a merciful, graceful God that we serve. One day, in many people's lives, God spoke to them and said, looking at your life, what you're going through, the pressures, the things you're going through, it's just telling you you're on the right track. We're telling you you're on the right track. God never said it was going to be easy. But he did say, as we saw on the screen, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God didn't say you were going to have a bed of roses and Satan would leave you alone. But God said, I'll give you the strength. And we're going to look at some of these verses in a few moments. Because right now, maybe not in your mind, but it may be some of your friends' mind and some people in the out there in other churches' mind, and maybe your mind, the pressures seem so great. The turmoil seems so hard. And it seems like it's not letting up. It seems like instead of getting better, the attack and the drive and the pursuit of Satan is just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And sometimes you're looking at your life saying, when do I get to catch my breath? And God says, you're making it. God says you're an overcomer, and we'll look at that verse in a moment. God says that you're a victor. God says that I'm giving you the strength. Every step that you've taken, I've been with you. And so in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of rejection, in the midst of what God is having happen in our lives and Satan's trying to do, God is saying, I'm strengthening you. Do we see it all the time? No. Do we feel it all the time? No. You know why? Because you're still human. Every one of us, even though we're Christians, we still live in a human body and we have human emotions. And the beautiful part about that is God understands it. God realizes what you're going through because he's there with you. It's not like now you've come to Christ, now go do what I tell you to do, live what I tell you to live, and call me if you need me. He doesn't handle it that way. He's working in your life. How many of you ever had doctor's appointments? How many minds spun the night before you went? How many of you ever had some bad imaginations? Is it better to go to a dentist or a doctor? Is the drill worse than the emotions that we go through as we're going to go through some tests and we're going to go through this? Isn't it amazing that about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, the enemy just comes with all these lies? I've heard them all. No, not quite all. I haven't had all the things go wrong yet. You know, when you get 67, there's a few parts that still work. But the enemy, do you have any mental things when you're laying in the hospital, Kirk? Like what? Who's going to raise my kids? You know, it's true. We go through that. I woke up a few weeks ago thinking about something, and all of a sudden, in the midst of that thinking and even in the midst of praying, there comes a thought, where'd that come from? And so Paul is telling us in the great struggles, in the afflictions, in the reproaches, in the tribulations, that even in all these things, we are more than conquerors. But there's something we learn. We don't go into a shell. We don't just let our minds run wild. When Satan brings an attack or a thought, we deal with that in the name of Jesus. And Paul said something that's very interesting here, because he says, in the midst of all this, you are still full of compassion. You are still reaching out to my needs, Paul said. You are still helping me with the things I was going through. You are still helping me overcome the things that I was in. How many of you have ever looked at somebody and criticized them before you went through the same thing? How many of us learn that some of the things we go through teach us compassion? Some of the things we go through, we realize, except for God, that was a very hard time to go through, but God was with me. God led me. God helped me. God strengthened me. God gave me the strength and the ability and the knowledge and the assurance that he was with me to get through it. And so Paul begins to admonish them something, to do something. And here's the admonishment. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Ravi Zacharias said last week, faith is confidence waiting for God to do something. Faith is the confidence that God is going to respond to your prayer, to your need. But this word confidence has a different tone. It has a different ring to it. This word confidence is having boldness of speech. Boldness of speech. What are you talking about? The Bible tells us in a couple places to hold fast your confession of faith. Look at me. In Hebrews 4:14 and Hebrews 10:23, I think it is, it talks about holding fast our confession. One place it says of faith. What does that mean? It's very simple. The word confession is to say the same thing or to agree with. So what we're being told here is that no matter what's happening and no matter what we're waiting for, how many have ever been discouraged waiting? No matter what we're praying about, no matter what we're asking God for. I was at Trinity yesterday with the football crew and somebody came up to me and said, have you built the new building yet? I said, no, we're still waiting. Sometimes you don't even think about the new building. I do. I still have faith. I still believe. I'm still confessing it's going to happen. But sometimes we get weary in well-doing. We do and do and do and believe and believe and believe, and right then and there we don't see the results. So what happens? We kind of grow weary. Don't grow weary in praying for your family. Don't grow weary in doing this. Don't grow weary in confessing God's word. Keep standing in there because the Bible says we're going to reap if we don't lose heart. The word confident here is being bold in your speech. It means to agree with what God is saying. It means to speak the same thing that God is saying. And we stand in the midst of uncertain times. We stand in the midst of insecurity on the world front. But I want you to understand something. There's no insecurity with God. I was talking to a man yesterday who's got up one morning, went out to get a drink of water. All of a sudden, he couldn't move. Everything in his body locked. And he said, it took me 15 or 20 minutes to get to a chair in the kitchen. And I sat there for an hour. And then I realized I couldn't do anything. So I struggled and called an ambulance, and they took me to the doctor. He said, a week ago, the same thing happened. And in his life, as we were talking, there was a tremendous insecurity. And that's what the enemy wants to bring in our relationship with God. He wants to bring us to a place where we're not sure whether God is with us. We're not sure whether God even loves us. We're not sure whether God's going to intervene. But I want you to understand the word of God is faithful and God is not a man that he can lie. And no matter what it looks like, take a look through the spiritual eyes. No matter what you're going through, see what God sees. Accept the fact that you're adorable in His sight and He loves you and He wants to help you and He's going to walk that out. And you may not see the answer, but you may give up when the answer's on the way. Because sometimes we hurry to do something before we've allowed God to speak. Sometimes we make our own decisions because we don't think that God's going to show up, and we must take the time to be patient and long-suffering in this life because God will speak. But if there's times that we don't hear, we make our... Anybody ever done that? Just haven't heard God speak, so you do your own thing? Whoever hasn't can stay seated, but otherwise everybody's going to... We've done that. Now there's something else in here that's so precious, and when you read that, you won't even take hold of it because it says something we don't even think about at times. In verse 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Your boldness and your confidence and your speech is going to produce something, a reward from God. And that actually means there is coming a time when God is going to reimburse you for being confident. Now, don't think I freaked out. That's exactly what it means. God will reimburse you for your faithfulness. God will reimburse you for holding on. You may look at your checkbook now. You may look at your health. You may look at a lot of stuff, and you may be ready to say, nothing's going to work. It's all falling apart, and God has abandoned me. No! My God shall supply all my needs. I am the God that healeth thee. I will walk this out with you, God says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, He says, He always causes us to triumph. How often? Always. So who fails in the kingdom of God? Only those who don't believe. You say, what are you talking about? There's victory for every one of us. There's power in every word in this word of God. And over and over and over again, somebody says there's 365 promises if we walk them out. For one for every day. There's a promise to you today. You may say, well, that's too simple. No, God didn't make it complicated. God made it so we can understand it, even me. It's when we try to make it complicated, when we try to make it difficult, when we come to a place of just, well, that can't be true. That's right, Jackson. Can I have some? When we walk it out, things fall in place. When we walk it out. I'm not going to ask for something and not take it. Time out while I chew. And so as we walk it out, God does His part. Now I want to give you a few verses in closing. Boy, that's good. Got some more? I want you to look these up. Go with me to Romans 8:37. Romans 8:37. Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God? And he says, nothing. He starts listing some things. In 8:37, he says this. Yet in all these things, We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know, it's pretty hard to become a victim when he's made us more than conquerors. It's pretty hard to look at ourselves and say, I can't do anything, when God says, I can do all things. And so as we walk this life out, God says, you're a conqueror. Now, you have a choice with that. You can look at the mirror and say it doesn't work, or you can just come to a place and look in the mirror of the Word of God and say, yes, I am. Say this with me. Raise your right hand. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And how am I a conqueror? I stand in the Word of God. Say it. I stand in the Word of God. I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I will be what God says I will be. I am a child of the Word of God. Whatever happens, thank you, Loretta. Whatever happens, you're standing. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. There's nothing that can shake us. We're like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. We're solid. We're great oaks of righteousness, the Bible says. But you know, we have to get it from here down to here and stand on it. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. You should have it underlined. The Bible says this, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I believe we make a mistake here. And here's what I believe the mistake is. I got to chew on it a little bit more, but I'm just going to give you the introduction to it. We are looking for victory over situations. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Something happens, and what do we want? We want a victory. We want to get through it. We want to be an overcomer. Instead of realizing and taking to heart that God has already given us all victory. And all we have to do is walk through it. God has given us victory. God has made us what? More than what? So you're not a victim. Say, I'm not a victim. I just need to learn in the victory that God has already given me. The Bible tells us, you don't have to say that. I'm preaching again. The Bible tells us that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What has he left out? It doesn't mean somebody might not take a pot shot at you, but you're a victor over that. It doesn't mean somebody will say something about you, but you're a victor over that. It doesn't mean that you may not feel some pain and sickness in your body, but you are a victor. He's given us victory over everything, spirit, soul, and body, and we walk it out. And so don't look for victory, walk in it. Love the way you're shouting. Yesterday we reffed a football game that came to overtime. first college overtime game I've ever done. Do you know what was going on? Both teams are nervous. But if you're a champion, you don't get nervous at the challenges. Coach, Friday night. If you're a Christian, which you are, you don't get nervous at the challenges. You face them in the name of Jesus, knowing that you're a victor over everything Satan can do for you. And you take a stand. Is that okay? Can you believe that? And so most of Satan's power is scare tactics. Oh man, this is going to happen. What am I going to do? How am I going to get through it? Where's it going to end up? Oh, I got a pain. It must be cancer. And when we take hold of the scare tactics and make them ours, don't call your disease yours. Don't call your sickness yours. Amen? Amen? Come on, amen? Amen? Stand. You're not going under, you're over. You're not beneath, you're above. You're not the tail, you're the head. And as we start living like it, we see victory after victory after victory because God's already made us victors. Do you know something? If you weren't a victor, you'd already be back in the world. So we walk it out. Ephesians chapter 3, 20. You know this one too, but write it down. Every once in a while, you just got to take a verse and chew on it. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works within us. I want to go back to what I told you. If you can come to a place, and if I can come to a place of recognizing I'm a victory, I walk in victory, I live in victory, I'm a victor, and God does exceeding abundantly above all we can believe or ask. What's that level? What is that level? We come to a place then that we are spiritually treading on serpents and scorpions and nothing's going to hurt us, our children, or our family. We're growing to a place where nothing disturbs us. You don't have to have your little panic attack and your little anger because things just don't fit together. You come to a place when things are falling apart and you say, whoa, victors don't live like this. I'm walking this out in Jesus. Even when there's thundering and lightning in Browns Valley, and the rain's beating on the roof, and the storms are coming, and the creek is rising. We could stand today right in the middle of Irene. Anybody know who Irene is? I didn't say Eileen, I said Irene. I believe there are Christians on the East Coast that's rebuked Irene and it didn't bother them. You say, oh, Pastor, that thing is coming. You think it's bigger than God? Do you think it's bigger than your faith? Just a thought. We come to a place where we stand and we say, I can do all things through Christ who what? Say it. Say it. Say it again. Now, are they just words or is it true? It's true. In Christ, we can do all things. You can handle whatever comes. It's not a panic time. Right, Martha? Got your eyes open? Okay. We can do it. Now you may say, Pastor, that's pretty positive. Is there anything in here that's negative? That God has planned for us? No. Last Sunday, as you know, we were in Wabe. And I thought, well, there might be 30 or 40 people come to the tent. There's probably between 100 and 150 come to the tent. Right before we started, I must have bumped a scab or I got bit by something, but I started bleeding and I'm thinking, oh God, this thing is gonna, well, that was enough of that kind of thought. So we give an altar call at the end of the service. And when it was just supposed to be a rodeo service, it was just going to be a, you know, be kind to God day. You know, let's have church. 20 to 25 people prayed a sinner's prayer with me. At the end of the service, I thought we were going to go out and eat because Jorgensen's were going to feed everybody. People started coming up for prayer. We have this need, we have that need, we have some other need. And God just began to manifest himself at a rodeo in a very special way. What I'm saying is this. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you're a child of God. And you didn't get to that area you're in or going to unannounced to God. He knows where you are. How many believe that? So as you're there, let the door be opened. You're all ministers. Simply means servants. We're all servants of God. And in your life, God has opened doors for you to walk through, and you're going to touch somebody's life. And you're going to see somebody born again. You're going to see somebody saved. You're going to see somebody delivered. You're going to see God's provision poured out on somebody's life, and their life will be radically changed because you are a victor. And you realize that every place you go, you're taking victory with you. Oh, does someday I might feel bad? Yeah. Don't stay there. Someday I might feel sorry for myself? Yeah. Don't stay there. We're emotions. We have emotions, but don't live by them. Walk out what God has for you and be a light. The light came in you, you shine. And let people see Jesus. Amen?